This episode is brought to you by FreeDadCourse.com. You are always one conversation away from changing your life, and the power of hello is something that I subscribe to every single day, and I'm always saying hello to new people everywhere I go. Increasing your opportunity, increasing your connection, and getting access to the solutions to the problems that you are facing, whether you're on active duty or just beginning your veteran transition, or you've been transitioning out for 20 years. On the other side of hello are the solutions that you're looking for. Again, head on over to freedadcourse.com. Get your 5-episode audio course to create more connection, create more friendships, and get back to living the life that you're trying to design.
Dory 1, this is Fire Team Delta. Dad's coming home.
Welcome to the Military Veteran Dad Podcast, where it is our mission to bring every dad home. I am your host, Ben Colloy. I'm a United States Marine veteran, husband, and a father. We will bring authentic conversations to inspire action in your life so we can close the gap between the dad you are today and the dad you want to be tomorrow. This is the Military Veteran Dad Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to episode 135. Before we get into this week's episode, I want to thank you guys because we are coming up on 3 years. And when I started this way back January 1st, 2019, I can't tell you how much I probably disbelieved that this was going to work out. That something that we were doing, something that I was creating, was going to move the needle in so many dads' lives. The messages I get from you guys, I was just talking to a dad at Instagram, and everything that he's been learning, he's been talking about that. We show up a lot on this podcast and just remind dads to enjoy the chaos, to embrace it, because it's going to be gone one day. And just how important creating those anchor memories with your kids are so that when you're gone, they have something to fall back on. Those little things that we talk about on this podcast are the little things that make the biggest difference. Because over the course of all these episodes, we've got over 230 different pieces of content out there with Fatherhood Friday. And all of it leads towards one thing: becoming the dad that you want to be tomorrow. So guys, thank you so much for joining us every week, supporting the podcast, sharing it, helping it grow. If you have not left an iTunes review, those mean the world to me and they really help grow the podcast. We've had a surge of listeners over on Business of Fatherhood that proved those iTunes reviews can really help increase the listenership. And so if you haven't gone over there and left your iTunes review, I would wholeheartedly appreciate doing that. I read every single one of them. So without further ado, let's dive into this week's episode. We are talking with Michael Goslin. He is a retired Air Force veteran who served over 20 years in various locations throughout the world. He has a wide breadth of skill level. He worked with vets to PM, become a project manager on the other side of transitioning out for information technology management to postal operations management. Michael enjoys spending time with his family, homeschooling his two kids, which becomes kind of the theme of this podcast episode, with his wife, Brunella, taking care of their three crazy dogs and enjoying everything that Central Florida has to offer. Guys, this is a rich episode in understanding what truly can happen when we dive into our kids' worlds. We go into a lot of good, cool stories because his family's traveled to Italy a couple times. They've gone down to Keys. Like, all of these different stories we tell in this podcast really cement and solidify the true impact that you can have in your kid's life when you choose to come home. So with that, let's get started with Michael Goslin. And if you want to hear my big takeaway, hang on to the other side. Welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Hi, nice to be here.
I'm really excited for this conversation because you were just coming on the heel or off the heels of a military pretty much career wrapping up. So tell us a bit about your military life and where you're kind of at in your life and what you're excited about today.
All right. Well, I started about 20 years ago in the Air Force. I was third generation. My grandfather was a civil engineer in the Air Force. My dad was a civil engineer in the Air Force. And my dad told me if I became a civil engineer in the Air Force, he would whoop my butt. So I came in as an IT guy, tech control to start with, which was a lot of fun. I traveled the world. Went to Arizona for my first base, where it was hot and dry, which is a huge difference from where we live now in Florida, which is hot and humid. And then from there, I went to Korea. I did mobile communications. I did combat comm. It was, again, a lot of fun. Met a lot of awesome people. Then from there, South Carolina. Then I went to Italy, where I met my wife. And we stayed in Europe for a couple of years, where I switched careers for a little bit. I became a postman essentially for the military, which was, again, a lot of fun. Got to go to some cool places, went to England, went to Amsterdam, which not many people in the military get to go there. So that was fun. Unique, it was civilian clothes, downtown, no real logistical support from anybody. So we made do. My kid at the time, we had a 1 year old, and he learned just a little bit of Dutch, not a whole lot. You know, knew Dewey Dewey, which is pretty much like goodbye. Then from there, we got stationed in Minot, North Dakota, where I went back to being in comm, which was a huge change for me because, as everybody knows, in 6 months, the newest technology is now the oldest technology, and had to adjust there. Did 5 years in Minot, then picked up another special duty out in Syracuse, New York, which was doing communications for the MQ-9 Reaper, which is a really cool unmanned aerial vehicle. And from there, I did a year and a half, and then I did my last 6 months in the Air Force, the SkillBridge program down here in Florida with a company called Vesta PM, working on some project management stuff, which I picked up a liking for in Minot. And then here I am in Florida, just enjoying life, retired 1 June, and working with my wife on a couple of projects. And yeah, life's good.
So you've got two kids that are in kind of this season of life where they're figuring out how to ask questions. They're figuring out how to refute parents' wisdom and their instructions as well, and challenging, like, no, I don't have to do that.
Yes, that's my 9-year-old.
You've gone through a lot of different transitions and places. How has your kids adapted through all that time?
We are super lucky. Our kids are so resilient. They, because we travel a lot with my wife being Italian, we've gone to Italy back and forth a few times. We've done like cruises for vacations and stuff. And we try to show them as much of the world as we can. And with moving, being at a young age, I think that's also helped them with their resiliency. But you know, there's always struggles. You know, they miss their friends from another base, or you know, when we moved to New York, it was a huge challenge because we were in an area that it was a guard base. So yeah, people knew about the military, but the kids in the area, they had no clue. They weren't used to like the military child, which is a huge difference compared to a civilian child, because most kids in the civilian sector, they don't move very often. Whereas my kids, you know, by the time we were in New York, that was 1, 2, 3, 4th move for my son and just first move for my daughter. But you know, it was definitely a challenge for them, but they handled it pretty well. And, you know, they love to go different places now, and they love to explore, and they're pretty open-minded because of the whole experience.
So the one part that I love about that, that really hits home, is that military kids see the world differently. And I would only fathom how much depth they have to how the world really works. And it is something that when they meet other kids, it is one of those that almost like they're a little bit more grown up, because they've had to grow up a little bit faster with a little bit more maturity. They probably have a little bit more emotional intelligence, because there's kids in their military communities for sure that are always coming and going. So emotions can be high in general. And I can imagine when those kids go through those moments that like they get to like show up in a powerful way for those other kids as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, my son, we always joke, he's got like an old man's soul. He's always asking questions, but he says things and he develops questions in ways that you wouldn't expect a child to do. It's surprising a lot of the times. And, you know, he's a neurodiverse kid. He's got dyslexia and ADHD. And I think that brings some of the wonder to the way he looks at the world as well. Like when he was about 3 years old, he made his own little telescope out of like, you know, toilet paper tube and stuff. And he was just so excited about the stars. And even to this day, you know, we're lucky we're on the Space Coast and we've seen a couple of the SpaceX launches. And he's just like blown away. Mine's blown away by watching this. And he's like, I want to, you know, be part of this somehow someday.
When you look at those, like you're raising your kids, the question I want to like focus on, when did you realize that you needed to raise them differently? Because I know you also homeschool your kids, which I'm not actually sure on the statistics of how many military families do homeschool. It's probably more popular now since Corona thrust everybody into this world of like, we might as well homeschool. We've got all these craziness and we're always moving. So what was that like? What was that journey like for you guys?
That started with my first deployment. I was, you know, relatively lucky in my military career. I deployed quite a bit before I met my wife. And then when I met my wife, it wasn't until the later years that, you know, I finally got hit up for deployment just through circumstances. It wasn't, you know, deployment dodging or anything. It just, my name never got picked. There were enough people, but in 2017, I got picked up to go to Qatar, and we were like, okay, you know, Alexander, my son, he's starting kindergarten. I'm going to be gone the whole school year. Let's homeschool him. And then you can go back to Italy. And, you know, my wife went to Italy with her parents and my 2 years old at the time, my daughter, and he did like a Montessori school for kindergarten and North Dakota.
In Italy schools, or like virtually?
In person at the time. So they were in Italy for 6 months. And then he came back and we finished his homeschooling process there for North Dakota. And then he went to first grade in North Dakota, which he loved. And then let's see, second grade he did in most of Syracuse, but then Corona hit and it's like halfway through, you know, February of 2020. It's like, okay, Corona's here. Let's start taking kids out of school. And we actually took our kids out a week early and started them on virtual school. So they did that for 6 months. And then we moved here to Florida after doing another 6 months of his second grade year. And when we got to Florida, they were doing it differently online than they were in New York. It was, New York was one teacher for all the online schooling. That's it. No other students, just the ones on Zoom. We get to Florida and it's half the classes in Zoom and the teacher's teaching half the class in person. And it was utter chaos. I mean, my son, like, he just looked so out of it, so zoned out on just that first day. And we knew, and they were prepping for their third grade scholastic testing, which, you know, I graduated in 2000 when they were starting to implement that stuff. And that's, I don't envy kids at all for those tests these days. So we were like, no, forget this. We're going to homeschool. So we started homeschooling this January. And it's been awesome because there's so much flexibility with it. And Florida is especially a great state to homeschool in because you can choose exactly what you want to teach your kids. So if there's subjects that you don't think your kids may be interested or they show more aptitude for, you can focus more on that and just give them like the basics of the other scholastic areas. And it's been awesome.
That sounds like a great opportunity for them to just kind of take what they've learned from the world, but then also like your son seeing a rocket go up, like you can align a lot of his learning towards what it takes to make a rocket go up and keep him excited about learning. And I think that's something that we often discredit as a role as parents, of like how much we can still play an active role in their education, even if they do go to traditional schools, is making sure that their curiosity doesn't get stampered. I think that like, when you think of the curiosity of a child and asking why and asking 50,000 times why, like it's so annoying, but at the same time, that curiosity is what allows them to not rubber band back to your basement, because hopefully they've asked why enough that they understand where they fit in. And most people just kind of shut that out, like, or even just kind of limit their voice within their education. Like some classrooms, a kid could be punished for asking why. I know in early my times, I was punished just for having a loud voice. Luckily, I can now podcast and use my voice appropriately. But like in those early moments, like it just really messes you up of like when someone comes into your world and says, you can't do that. And your homeschooling opportunity sounds like you're really almost setting them up for this scenario where taking all the stuff that they've learned and like fully moving it into the next 8 years, essentially in the next halfway point of their life, going into it when they want to grow up and what they want to be as an adult. And it's really exciting. I can only imagine what you guys are kind of witnessing now, but yeah, you still have so many more years of this process to unfold for you.
Yeah. In fact, when we were in Italy, you know, my son doesn't like to read. He's not what I would call an avid reader, but you know, we went to this little town called Orvieto, and the Etruscans were there thousands of years ago, and they held off the Romans for 2 years by living in underground caves and all this awesomeness. And, you know, we told him about it and he was like, whatever. But then we took him to see it. And it was like his mind again blown, because he could see and feel these stone walls that were, you know, carved out thousands of years ago by, you know, people just like him. And you saw where, you know, they stored pigeons for food. Like they had like this little holes in the walls. And the guy's like, what do you guys think these holes are? My son's like, for birds. And they're like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, this is where they had to eat the pigeons before they could fly. And that's how they, you know, survived for 2 years. And just being able, especially homeschooling, to take them different places and get a more hands-on approach to things is fantastic. Like, we went down to the Keys earlier in the spring, and we took them to Ernest Hemingway's house down there. And that was just, my son was like, oh, this is so cool. Or he'll be like, oh, this is so old timey. And it's just so much fun to be such a huge part of their education and see them grow. And yeah, sometimes the why a thousand times is, it wears down on your nerves, but then you have to remind yourself, you know, this is how they learn. I did the same thing. Yes, I drove my parents nuts. They're going to drive me nuts, but I love them for it.
Yeah. And it sounds like your son is one that learns through almost the experience of his senses versus the experience in his mind. And as if he can feel and see it, then he can absorb it, but he needs that extra sensory input to really learn.
He does. He's
the world around it. And they also then, like, it almost is almost like a rabbit hole thing. Like, once he can see it, really, has he moved in to read a book about the caves, or is it just like the curiosity there within the caves? He's learning about it and he'd rather be like a hands-on learner.
He just kind of was curious about it and just kind of like looked at everything there, touched as much as they would allow him to touch. He hasn't gotten into reading books yet, but with science and space, he has. After seeing the rockets launch.
Yeah, I remember when I went to Okinawa for my entire Marine Corps career, there was a place called Hacksaw Ridge, which looks fairly ordinary now. It's a bunch of just trees and bushes, and this is Hacksaw Ridge, and it's Big Cliff. But then I watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge, and I was like, whoa, I was there. And that whole story came back to life. And for me, it was almost like I couldn't fully imagine what that was like because it looked so different. But it sounds like your son has like a different gift where he can like time travel through his thoughts once he's actually in that space, which no idea what that's useful for. But I'm sure as he repeats that exercise, that will come to fruition. Maybe it's almost like as like a director on a movie set, that's probably maybe some skill set of like going to a place and like, I can make a movie come alive from this story.
He is definitely a storyteller. He's just like his mom, because my wife, she's a writer and an editor, and he is just like her in that sense. You know, he loves science, but he's also got like such a huge imagination. Like, we took him to one spot where it's like this tunnel in this little mountain spot in Naples called Misano. And my wife, her aunts, when they were kids during the bombings in World War II, all the people from these towns would go hide in these tunnels. And, you know, they would eat dust to keep their stomachs from, you know, grumbling because they had no food. And like, my son's just like in awe of hearing these stories. And he's like, oh, I can imagine, you know, there's a little crook in the cave. He's like, people probably slept there, so, you know, the light wouldn't bother them and all this other stuff. And he was adding details that he was just imagining just from being in this tunnel and being told this story. And it was just, it's so fascinating to watch him and listen to him sometimes and how he develops things.
You know what I would wonder almost? If he would go to the Harry Potter theme park at Universal, or Pandora at Disney World, or the Star Wars experience. But I can only imagine, because those are like, I've heard Pandora is like really like real life, like the movie Avatar. And like, I can only imagine how that world comes alive in his head and like what that would do being in that space. Like, that's just a cool thing as a dad to witness, like at such an early age, and to have the freaking time to be able to do it. I mean, you could still say, I'm going to do another 5. You could still be lost in your military career. There's an entire different version of Michael that isn't present to see all this. And then 5 years from now, like, man, I missed it all. And good on you for recognizing that it's happening right now.
Yeah. I've been put in an amazing position to be able to do this thing and to be able to be such an active part of my child's life, you know, because we had children later in life. You know, I look back at my childhood, and while I was blessed to have, you know, all these fun experiences and stuff, you know, my dad was gone TDY all the time, and, you know, he had to work late, or he had to study, and he had to do all these other things, where, you know, I have the opportunity to be such a huge part of my kid's life. And I see the difference in these last 8 months versus the year and a half I was in Syracuse, where I was kind of a flight line mentality of, you know, not necessarily long hours, but I was on a weird shift where they were at school in the morning and then I was at work in the afternoon and at night. So I didn't get to see him as often. And the relationship I've got with my children now is like so much stronger than, and it was pretty strong before, because I love my kids and I'm a hands-on dad. But it's grown even more now that I'm, you know, an integral part of their learning, and just being able to help them with just manners and just simple things like that, that you don't necessarily always get at school because of the rush and, you know, how many kids it's, I don't want to say school's like a factory now because, you know, teachers, they have a hard enough time as it is, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's about getting those numbers through, and just, you can't focus as much on the individual as you do the whole.
And it is often more values-based, like depending on how much the, like the city or the community values being a community, like that often it can be like this connection of whether school ends up being this place where kids just go to get educated and they get through and measured. But then there's other places where I feel like our school district does a really good job of this, of that, like now it's called social emotional learning, which is kind of like this adulting concept of how do you teach adulting to younger kids, which is something a lot of people my age at 36 really struggle with. So I'm really excited to see that incorporated. And it's really this experiential kind of learning where it's not like they break up these moments where they really know my kids and help them go where they need to go. And we're a small city, but at the same time, not every small city even has that same thing. I want to go into a different angle. What angle or what is the, what was the genesis moment for MailKit, MailKit? Because this is something that when I first heard about it, I was like, what a great idea to continue to build that connection. So I'd love to go to that genesis moment when you think like, I think we got something here.
Definitely. Well, my wife is an idea person and she's got thousands, as a writer, she's got thousands of them in her head. And she came to me one day and she's like, we should start a military pen pal program, because our son came to us after we moved. He's like, you know, I really miss my friends. You know, I wish I could write them a letter. And both my wife and I had pen pals as kids, you know, it's something you just did. Hers was to help her learn English a little bit better as a child. And mine was just, it was just a fun thing to do. And you don't hear about pen pals as often nowadays as you did, you know, back in the 80s and maybe early 90s. So we decided we were going to develop MailKit, MailKit. It's a customized stationery program or stationery for the pen pal program. The pen pal program is the heart of the whole project, but we also, there's like a stationery kit that goes with it. And with that, we've got a Disney creator that's helped us with this. He's an illustrator and he's fantastic, Valerio Mazzoli. And he's also a family friend, Italian as well. So my, him and my wife, they'll chit chat for hours.
In a language you probably don't understand?
Yeah. Well, I understand enough Italian to get in trouble.
Or to know when they're talking about you.
Yeah. My son speaks much more fluent than I do. He and his sister, actually, they take once a week last year, they were taking an online Italian course, and they're going to continue that this upcoming school year as well, which is fun. But it was kind of a way to help military kids connect, you know, because we as military kids, because I'm one of them too, you know, military brat, you PCS all the time. You leave friends, you meet new friends. And sometimes it's nice to have somebody that's been through the same things you've been through to be able to communicate with. So it helps connect like-minded and like-hearted kids, because what it is we have the parents fill out the form. What are your, you know, kids' likes? What do they, you know, not like? And we try to match by age groups and interests. And so far with our beta testers, it's been phenomenal. They've all really liked it. We're wanting need more people to sign up at MailKitMailKit.com. And it also helps build that resiliency in kids, because, you know, say a parent's deployed and they write to somebody else that has a parent deployed, they can kind of talk about their emotions, not necessarily face to face, which some kids that's difficult for. Sometimes it's easier to write it down, and it helps a lot. I know it's helped my son with writing, and like I said, he doesn't like to write and doesn't like to read, but this made him interested. It kind of piqued that interest in writing, and like his handwriting has improved by doing this, because his handwriting used to be all off the chart. And then he started doing this and he wanted the other kid to be able to read his writing. It was important to him. He wanted to present a good image to, you know, the kid he was writing to. He didn't want to be, you know, some sloppy kid off the street. And it just has kind of grown from there.
Is there a particular story of something you didn't expect to happen from the launch of the product?
I wasn't expecting my kids to be as excited about it as they were. Like we as adults are excited about it because it's our, you know, product, and we were hoping for that excitement. But to see my kids get so excited about, hey, can I go check the mail today? Like, not something you'd expect a 9-year-old or a 6-year-old to say. But they do. They go wait every day. They go check the mail and see if they, their pen pal has written them back. And it's just, it's awesome.
What I can see in that is almost this ability to, like what you said, articulate the emotion, being able to share that with another kid that they don't understand. They've never met probably, right? Because these are just online connections. These aren't people that are familiar in their life. Well, they could be, but in your case, you're actually putting two random people together to have a conversation with. And there is just kind of this opportunity to reveal who the child is, but then also hear who the other child is. And I mean, that empathy there that you can do, especially if the dad's deployed or the mom's deployed, that's something is that not a lot of kids give themselves permission to like let their guard down enough to like say that maybe they're not okay. But to another kid that gets it, it feels safe, even safer than sometimes maybe opening up to our parents. So in many ways, I'm sure while these letters are a gift in the mail, there is a longer term dividend that's paid by these kids getting to connect with people that have the shared. I mean, it's anything like a Facebook group either. Like Facebook groups exist to bring people together to share commonalities. Like it's that same experience of finding people that connect and share what you've experienced.
Exactly. And, you know, as a parent, it kind of takes away screen time, which is always, you know, a good thing in my eyes, at least, and gets them doing something tangible, something they can feel, touch, versus just, you know, chit-chatting online or something, or, you know, while they're playing a video game. And again, even just going to the mailbox, you know, hey, get our 10,000 steps in, right? That's a couple steps every day. And another nice thing about it is say, you know, your child is, you guys are PCSing to Japan and you have somebody on the list that's from Japan. They can say, oh, hey, you know, yeah, this is the best place to go. This is the best park on the base, or this is the best beach to go hang out at, or stay away from this place because, you know, this guy's going to try to swindle you into buying a fake Rolex or whatever, you know? So it's a good way for PCSing kids to kind of get a leg up on where they're going, or help somebody else that may be coming to where they're going.
And I'd never really thought about it, but the way that you're setting it up is it also helps kids have value. I think there's something that can happen with a military kid because they're moving from place to place. They don't have those connections. They don't have those friendships to kind of be that mirror for like, yes, I am a good person. I am a kind person. And they have to relearn that muscle. But then especially when you're helping someone that's going through something that you just finished, say you PCS'd out of one place and you're helping the person that just PCS'd in there, finding value in your knowledge. I mean, that's such a powerful thing that often kids don't get a lot of exposure to growing up. And like, that's a really powerful thing when you can take whatever life lessons you've got and find purpose. I mean, that's the story of every veteran going through whatever they've got to go through is finding purpose in that trauma. Now, kids don't have trauma, but they have richness in whatever experience they've had. And they probably feel really good, like helping another kid not learn how to trip over that thing that every military kid trips over when they get PCS to this station. And like, that's a really cool feeling to share and connect. And also, like, you have really no idea where it's going to go. These little micro connections, it's going to create a web of two kids meeting probably 20 years from now and saying, hey, we finally got a chance to connect. We've been pen pals for so long. Like, you're creating ripples in ponds you can't even visibly see and you don't even know exist, really.
Exactly. We're teaching them networking before they know what networking is.
Yeah. And like that value, I think, is such a key component, because what veterans get hung up on is we forget we have value and we isolate ourselves from the world. But for me, in my story, friends were that value. They were the mirror for the stuff that I couldn't see that was good. And I mean, that's some of the same stuff that a military kid that maybe his dad died, maybe he's lost a parent, like the shared struggle of someone else seeing good in them when maybe they can't see it themselves. I mean, like, man, that's exactly, we almost need a military mail kit for veterans to randomly connect and send letters to each other, because it's kind of the same healing process of finding purpose in what you're doing and connecting with random strangers and finding ways to build those relationships long-term.
Yeah. I will say, you know, since I retired, I think that's the thing I miss most is like the camaraderie in like a work center. For me, it's been a huge change going from, you know, having a real office every day to working from home with my wife. Cause it's like, you know, we wake up and, oh, okay, what do you got for me today, boss? You know, and you know, we grind to it. We teach the kids. It's all kind of like a mix of everything. And that's, as much as I love it, it's been a huge adjustment for me as, you know, a dad and as a worker, because I'm used to such a structured environment. And now it's kind of like, oh, go with the flow.
Yeah, I know exactly what that feels like because January 2020, I lost my job one day. And so since I was 18 years old, I had a place to be that had a purpose that was outside my control. And come January, it was gone. And then I had to decide, well now what? And that rewiring is like a 5,000 amp circuit breaker to switch from going to work and like you have to wake up and drag yourself out of bed and find purpose without someone pushing you or pulling you. Like the only one that's going to do it is you. And man, is that a hard rewire, especially for veterans, because we're so purpose identified with work that it's a process I'm still growing through. And like all the kids will be in school come September. And it's this kind of this feeling of, as I've rewired my life as a stay-at-home dad, that I'm going to be going into this growing phase as well, because now I'll actually have a lot of time to be lazy, which I haven't had a lot of time to be lazy. I've had to be very disciplined in my structure. If I didn't be disciplined, it didn't happen. Things didn't get done. But come September, I'll have the full 40-hour work week practically of, well, I could do anything, but I also could mess it up as well. And that's like that final frontier of like purpose and mission of being able to take what you're working on and get excited about it on your own free will.
Definitely. Like we're having a house built. And so I try not to invest too much in what we're doing here at the house we're renting right now. But like we got some potted plants and some like, what do we got? Eggplants and tomatoes and basil and stuff like that. And again, part of that homeschooling is I get to teach the kids all these things about, you know, growing plants. For me, I've always loved having a garden. It's like a real peaceful thing. I know where my food's come, my fruit and veg are coming from. I know, you know, I don't use pesticides. I'm using as much natural stuff as possible. And like, I love that. And I can't wait to have an actual garden again and be able to teach them so much with that, because my daughter seems to be really into it. And I want to kind of foster that as much as possible. So having that time and that just that dynamic work environment here at the house has been great for that too.
So what does the perfect world scenario look like, say, 5 years from now? I know you just graduated from Vets of PM by Eric down there. I can't think of his last name, but I know
Eric
his name.
Yeah.
Eric Wright. And I know his name is the doc. Like Doc's the man.
The man.
And so where does your life heading with this newfound freedom, but then also the newfound ability to screw it up?
Yeah. It's right now. It's like, it's a good time to take risk, but not take risk. It's weird. I'm hoping to still be mentally stable enough to homeschool my kids. I'm hoping they haven't driven me nuts by then.
Or they're willing to be learned or taught from you. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
They're like, Dad, we like you, teacher, but this isn't working.
That, you know, they could tell me that at some point. But the real goal is to do that if I can, if it works out well for us. Help my wife grow her business. She's, like I said, she's got her, she's a writer and an editor, and she's got her own company as well. And a lot of what I learned from Vets to PM, I've been able to apply that to her business and try to help it grow a bit. And then Milk It, Milk It came along. And so that's kind of a little bit to the side, but I do it little by little as I can. But I want to do full force on that and get her up to a point where, you know, we're hiring other people to be editors and writers for her company, and get her away from working for another company and make it strictly her company. And then I just kind of handle the admin stuff. I don't mind paperwork. I don't mind doing things like that. And then just enjoy life.
Yeah.
That's
do you see yourself as being like, considering yourself like a stay-at-home dad?
Oh yeah. I think I'll have empty nest syndrome when my kids graduate.
Yep. Something to squirrel, because it's not a lot of information that's like widely like in the flow of information on the internet. Is there's an entire ecosystem of stay-at-home dads. So there's actually a nonprofit called National At-Home Dad Network that focuses on advocating for dads. There's multiple different Facebook groups for stay-at-home dads to just get connected and share any struggles and community within that. And there's also a convention that I'm giving the opening keynote at, to plug my own thing here, in October in Cincinnati as well.
I've heard about that actually. One of the guys I connected with on LinkedIn, I can't remember his name right now, but I found him on CNN about a book he wrote about being a stay-at-home dad, and connected with him. And he told me about that as well. It's really
was
awesome.
Was the cover yellow?
There's one that's like
a super manual for being a stay-at-home dad or something. It has a really simple title to it, but it's like, here's your manual to be a stay-at-home dad.
I can't remember off the top of my head. But I remember him telling me about the conference in Cincinnati. That's awesome.
So in this case, it could be like an invitation for you to kind of reconnect in a different way from the military, not through shared work, but shared purpose. And I think that's what like a lot of stay-at-home dads can really like. They sign up for it. They think it's a good idea. They know they're probably going to, they need to do it and they want to do it. But at the same time, that circuit breaker is such a big switch. And just being connected with people that are sharing in that same emotional struggle. Same thing with like your what we were just talking about, connecting with kids with shared struggle. This is the case of connecting with shared purpose within the struggle of being a stay-at-home dad and rewiring your life to someone that's not going to really care and give you appreciation very much, that you show up and do your stuff every day and you have laundry and all the other stuff done. It's an entirely different way to focus. There's no quarterly review telling you you're doing a good job. There's
exactly.
It's an entirely inside conversation.
Yeah, your house is either together or it's not. And that's, I guess, the gauge you can take on whether you're doing well or not.
You could even have a clean house, but then you could still have a dirty mind of like,
yeah,
it's almost, it looks good on the outside, but yet your mental health is just like in the toilet because you're not working through these conversations that you're having yourself and you do lack purpose and you haven't figured out how to redefine that conversation in your head.
Exactly. Like I sometimes struggle to find me time, which is strange for me because I've never really thought about having me time, but now I have time to do it, but I've added other things. So I don't have time to do it. Like in retirement, I have the time, but in the scope of the 24 hours that I've been given every day, I don't have the time. So my wife's always harping on me. She's like, you know, you've got to make time for yourself, Michael. You know, it's important. She's like, I do it. Make sure you do it. So I'm trying to find that balance and not fall into pitfalls that I know, you know, some people fall into, like alcoholism. I actually had a buddy, he separated at his 15-year mark. This is before they raised higher tenure in the Air Force, and found out about 2 years ago, he actually drank himself to death. His liver failed and he was a good dude. And I didn't realize his alcohol problems were that bad. You know, he was just like, oh yeah, you know, go home, have a couple drinks. And I told myself I never want to fall into that, you know, I don't mind having a good
time. And then you learn where he really did fall into. And it's like, yeah, we definitely want to avoid everything that goes with that.
Yeah, exactly. So just finding that personal time, and I am getting better at it, you know, again with the gardening and stuff and getting my kids involved a little bit has helped a bit. Cause they keep me grounded. Definitely.
They definitely keep you grounded and they definitely keep you, have to keep you like on your edge of like just kind of being there. Like there's a lot of where you like, you try to prepare, you try to plan, but sometimes it'll just be a shit show and that's just how it is. And you just got to ride that wave.
Definitely. It's
especially, I'm sure that's something you've experienced your homeschooling. You're like, yep, today in this moment, learning's not happening.
Some days it's like everything's just like smooth, like somebody sprayed everything with Pam, everything's just sliding the way it needs to go. And then other days it's like rocks are crumbling from the ceiling and you're like, where am I going with all this? Why did I do this? Because your kids are like, I don't want to read today, or I don't want to do this, and this is too hard. I'm like, but you did this yesterday and it was fine. It is what it is. And you got to go with it and be flexible. That's one thing, you know, the military taught me is that flexibility has helped a lot homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. The flexibility and grace is something you have to issue yourself quite a bit on a daily basis as well.
Yeah. And, you know, in Florida, you have to be evaluated at the end of your 1 year period. So we'll be evaluated in January for our kids' progress. And so I contacted this lady. I was like, can I, you know, we just have a one-on-one. So we had a quick Zoom call. And she's like, you have to give yourself grace and realize that you don't have to do and be everything. All they have to do is show progress. You know, you're going to have your rough days. You're going to have your great days, but, you know, be kind to yourself because at the end of the day, you're doing your kids a great service by being there for them and being able to give them like that one-on-one support that they wouldn't necessarily get in a public school.
Well, Michael, I've really enjoyed this conversation because we almost focus the entire conversation on the military kids. And usually we flirt with that area. I feel like we hovered there really well and we covered a lot of good ground with that. Before we let you go, where is the best place to get in touch with you and to learn more about this pen pal program for military kids?
You can get a hold of me at info@milkidmailkit.com.
Awesome. And last question, what is a parting piece of advice that you want to make sure that every dad learns from the furnace that is your life where you've cooked this piece of advice and had to learn it the hard way probably?
Always tell your kids you love them no matter what, no matter how mad you get, no matter how frustrated they make you. Always give them a hug at the end of the night. give them a kiss on the forehead and let them know.
That's really good advice. And we had a guest well back. I can't remember the exact episode, but he's like, the best predictor of a good adult is how well did they know that their parents love them? Like, you can mess up everything, but if they believe that their family or the mom and dad loved them, like, that is that internal fire that allows them to go through anything in life. And any kids that don't have that, you have this like emptiness that they can't figure out and articulate. And they kind of just have this half attempted effort at life. And it's kind of comes back to, if they didn't feel that love, they just don't feel that push to, or that permission in some ways to go out there and be them. Like, it's a weird kind of internal feeling. So great advice there for every military dad out there to hear.
Yep. Whether you're thousands of miles away or just, you know, a foot away from your kid, just let them know you love them.
I love that. Well, again, Michael, thank you for sharing your time today. And I look forward to getting this episode out there and helping military kids connect in a way that seems really cool and something that is just getting started. But man, the legacy on this is going to be off the charts on these connections that happen.
Well, I appreciate your time, Ben.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Again, I know that your time is precious. I know that you could have listened to 100 different podcasts, many of them even veteran podcasts, but you chose to invest your time here today. So I don't want to discredit the investment that you've made in this podcast to learn to be a better dad. That is a choice that will always lead better dividends down the road. Compounding interest is true in the finance market, compounding interest with your time here on Military Dad and your time with your family means the world. So never discredit that. So my big takeaway this episode is really learning to dive in and create that moment where you let your kids be kids. In those moments where you let your kids be kids, those are the moments that I struggle with the hardest, probably, because there's moments where they're just breaking things. They're just discovering, they're building, they're letting their imagination run. They're just exploring. But man, sometimes that can wreak havoc on your house, your basement, your garage. I can't tell you how many 5-gallon pails that I've broken in the garage because my son and the neighbor friend use it as a jump drum to put pieces of wood next to it. And they break the hole in it because they're banging away on it as a drum out in the garage. They're having fun right up until it breaks, and then I'm out of 5-gallon bucket. Those moments I really struggle with. But I remember, just like you, I'm a student of this information and making sure that I self-examine where I might not be showing up as strong as I could. So really, just knowing that these moments need to happen, and I really trust in this thought that knowing that there's a moment in time, 10, 15 years in the future, that all I'm going to really want back is that broken bucket, that this time is so precious when they're younger that I'm never going to wish I had a bucket over that moment of just laughing. Like, really, Dylan? Really? You had to break my 5-gallon bucket? Like, I'm never going to wish that bucket was back. I'm going to wish I could time travel back and do something with my kids at those younger ages. So I know, I trust in that. And that is something that I keep diving into even more and more. So this week coming up isn't just a normal week here at Military Veteran Dad. And in my life, I'm doing something that has been building since this podcast really started. On this coming Friday, I will be giving the keynote, not just any keynote, the opening keynote at Stay at Home Dad Con. So Stay at Home Dad Con is sponsored by National At Home Dad Network. It's a national nonprofit that focuses on advocacy for stay at home dads. Over the 18 months that I was a stay at home dad and the different things that I had to learn to grow into that journey to double down and be that stay at home dad, all of those things showed up in my life to really help me become the better dad that I needed to in my kid's life, even when things were hard during virtual and all the other things. And life isn't done being hard. I'm pretty confident life's going to give me a big turn and smack in the face here pretty soon and say, like, just because you've got it rosy doesn't mean it's going to stay rosy. But this Friday, I'm giving the opening keynote on stage to about 100 dads. And that moment has been building. I've been imagining this moment building up. If you remember a long time ago, I did an episode on the movie I Can Only Imagine. And at the end of that movie, there's a moment where he's standing on stage and he sees his dad looking down at him. For me, there was a moment when I watched that movie where I saw my grandmother looking down on me with the proud feeling of what I was able to accomplish when I believed in myself. And that was a very surreal moment. And just even saying it out loud just now, I got goosebumps. So this is going to be a big week here. It's 8,000 words, so it's no undertaking or light undertaking to say those words. But you guys have given me the courage to practice because I keep repeating a lot of the same advice I'm giving in that keynote and bundling it together in a nice red thread that goes throughout the entire speech. So I'll be sharing pictures on my social media. So if you want to check out on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, hit me up. All the different things will be happening and I'll share what's going on, different things that I'm learning. So good opportunity to connect and just see what's going on in my life. And if you're a stay-at-home dad, to see what's going on at Stay-at-Home Dad Con, because maybe next year it's something you want to put on your radar. So with that, let's wrap up this episode. Let's put a lid on it. Let's get you back to the work week and have an awesome week. And I'll be back again with you on Friday, where I will share how that keynote happened.